Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Dermot and Dave.
Conversation. Crack.
And the music you love.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
Today FM.
Protecting your kids online, man, it's a bit of a minefield. And a lot of the time, we feel like you're expected to be a bit of an IT expert as
yeah.
well.
And last week, actually, we spoke to Trina Campbell about plans in China to limit gaming for children in China to an hour on Fridays and weekends. We had a massive reaction from parents about that. But one thing became clear is that gaming and social media definitely here to stay, and we all need to learn to live with it and help our children navigate it. And now the new RTE Junior series is helping to teach online safety to preschool kids. And the creator of the show, Andrew Kavanagh, has popped into the studio to explain all about Alva's World. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning.
So you work for Cavalier.
That's right.
A production company. And tell us about Alva's World then. What's the logic behind this one?
Yeah, well, you know, you mentioned being an IT expert, and I'm the furthest thing you could possibly imagine from being an IT expert. So the inspiration for this show really came from me having 2 kids who were about to go, you know, about to get into that age where they might be exposed to stuff online and not knowing the first thing about it. So the cartoon was really designed for younger kids because it was skewing younger in terms of uptake of devices, internet accessible devices, when we started this, and it's gone much younger now. And also for, you know, older guys like myself who didn't grow up with social media, didn't grow up with the internet, and need a kind of a, you know, a dialogue piece that we can talk to our kids about.
Yeah, and right. The irony being that the viewers of your show are probably going to watch it on a device, probably on an iPad or an iPhone. Let's have a little listen to the kind of thing that we can expect from Alva's World.
I'm playing this awesome online game, Super Bopping Beads. Yay, everyone, look! I finally finished level 1!
Great job!
Oh, it says to unlock level 2, I need to purchase special electro bopping beads. Mom, Dad, can I buy them? Please?
Well, you need to think about it, Alva. What was a free game is now asking you to spend some of your pocket money to keep playing. Have a little think about what you really want to spend your pocket money on.
I know what my 10-year-old daughter would say. I want the Robux and I want them now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You actually get told, because what happens in my house is I see a credit card statement coming through going, hey, who the hell bought this fuzzy bee game and spent all the money? So you're absolutely right. This is a genuine, real thing. And look, you know, there are lots of issues around the exposure of kids to devices that have access to the internet and all that kind of stuff. And spending money on something is definitely one of them. And it is an argument that you have with your children all the time, who even when they get their own money, they want to spend it on things that we see as a waste, you know. Would you not go to the shops and buy a football? And they have 800 footballs in the back of your life. But just don't spend it on V-Bucks, whatever you do, you know. But to them, obviously, it's not a waste. They've reasons that they enjoy things that maybe we just don't understand. So when you're sitting down to create it, like, is there a list of topics you kind of go through on a board and go, we want to cover this, 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 and then devise the episodes that help you do that?
Yeah, and we worked with CyberSafe Kids on that because, you know, it's a moving target. It's changing all the time. Like when we started this, we pitched this 5 years ago, and there were scary headlines that 10-year-olds were getting cell phones in the US.
Yes.
Now it's like 50% of Irish 8-year-olds
have access.
Some sort of internet accessible device, yeah. Whether it be a phone, they're getting it for their communion, you know, this kind of thing. So it's getting younger and younger. So we worked with CyberSafe because they do an annual report. So we were looking at, you know, the broad topics, as you said, like spending, buying games online, you know, keeping your information safe, data mining, you know, all these different things, location tracking, that kids are, and I'm not aware of.
Yeah.
But also COVID hit in the middle of it. So we had, suddenly we had contact tracing, we had online learning, we had, you know, birthday parties, you know.
Did that feel more timely then, that this was, although you've been obviously, I'm sure, waiting for a long time to get it over the line, that actually there was a kind of a perfect storm?
Yeah, it was an odd one, because I'd spent a long time trying to convince people that this was a real concern, you know. And I think, you know, preschool broadcasters, and fair play to RTE Junior for being the first to jump, they're afraid of scaring the kids, yeah. You know, because the internet, you know, kids see the internet as a wonderful place, which is what we've designed it as, with a few bad apples. But, you know, there's this thing that we don't want to scare kids. We want them to engage with the learning. But yeah, COVID was the perfect storm, because it threw everything into sharp focus.
Yeah.
All of the things that we'd been worried about suddenly became, you know, kids were spending screen time, went out the window. And suddenly, you know, we had no option but to do everything online. And, you know, we had to engage with it. And people like myself, who perhaps were kind of just, you know, pushing it down the line, we're like, okay, now's the time. You know?
I like some of the topics you're covering. One episode is, should Alva get green brows like her big sister, who was influenced by a social media influencer? You know, taking time out to enjoy the outside world. Notifications on her tablet distracting her from her homework. That's a big one in our house.
They're all real things. Yeah,
so, I mean, you're tackling, particularly when you think of the social media influence thing, you know, that is such all-pervasive peer pressure that we never had to deal with. Mm. But the fact that you can tackle those topics at a preschool age means you're planting really healthy seeds there.
Yeah, well, I went back to, you know, what did my parents tell me as a kid? And we had fairy tales, so we knew not to go off with the kind of weird looking stranger, or take an apple from a horrible looking person, or whatever it might be. So we created, you know, sort of fairy tales of the internet. So we used those kind of metaphors and allegories to, you know, to come up with a kind of a new suite of fables for this age that we're living in.
And you talked about RTE Junior being the first to jump. It's actually on Sky as well, isn't it? It's rolling out in the UK as well.
Yeah, from the 18th of October, it'll be on the Sky Kids app, and it'll be on in Finland then later in the year. So we're waiting on the
Finnish. Well, this is great that, like, such a great Irish success story that, as you said, having had the idea 5 years ago, that you're able to get it not just to the preschool kids in Ireland, but now the preschool kids in the UK, Finland, and presumably, hopefully, elsewhere around the world as well.
Yeah, we've got a great distributor on board, Wildbrain in Canada, and they deal with massive properties like Peanuts. So, you know, we have really good sales guys.
Yeah,
and we've got our first major market coming up next month. So, we're hoping for international sales, and we hope that Alva will go global.
I always wondered about those international TV markets. And just what happens, obviously, when we think of, say, something like the RDS, and everyone has a stall, and you're all there trying to flog your wares, and there's people going around going, I like that TV show, I like that. Like, how do you interact? How does it look when you go to one of these TV markets? Do you literally have a stall? Do you have a 5-minute pitch time? Like, how does it work?
Wow. It's huge. The one we go to in October, it's called MIPCOM, MIP Junior, and that's in Cannes. But, I mean, essentially, the Palais in Cannes is like the Birmingham NEC, but with palm trees outside. It's this massive conference center, unnavigable, like, you know, I've been going for 20 years and I still can't find my way around it. But yeah, there's countries have stalls. So Ireland have a thing called Ireland on Screen, where all the Irish producers huddle. And then bigger companies will have their own stalls. So bigger media companies will have their own stalls. But it costs an arm and a leg to go. So what I do is I'm sort of traveling salesman. I've got my briefcase full of wares. I'm heading around to other people's stalls. I'm harassing people at bars. And, you know, I'm kind of, you know, going up and just having conversations in elevators or wherever I get the opportunity.
So is there a chance then that you could have something amazing, but you just didn't meet the right guy at MIPCOM or whatever it's got? Like, you literally just didn't bump into him in a lift.
Yeah, well, it's hard to, you have to set up your meetings like 16 years in advance, you know, to get the big guys anyway. But I think with a show like we're doing, you know, with Adam King, for example, like, there is a lot of pre-interest in that. So we're getting...
We should explain that to our listeners. So Adam King, of course, who is the star of the Late Late Toy Show, and Adam and his family have been in with us a couple of times. Great, great bunch of people. Adam is an absolute star, as we know, with his virtual hugs and all that. So you are working with Adam and the family to make a cartoon of Adam's adventures.
That's right, yeah. We're pitching it next Tuesday in Toulouse. So it's the first time it's been unveiled. So we'll have the animation, we'll have the team, the full team that we're assembling, and we're still getting some late entries on that, which are really exciting. So it's, we're going to send Adam to space in a cartoon, and he's going to explore the universe, and he's ultimately going to save the Earth.
That's amazing.
His mission. Yes.
Look, fingers crossed that'll be taken on. And have you any idea, like, you know, who you'd like that to end up with, or is it just, look, if it's... ITV, if it's Netflix, if it's RTE Junior, you'll take whoever's got the best offer.
Yeah, I mean, it's more important to me to get somebody who's interested in genuine on-screen representation, which is what the impetus was for doing this, is that, you know, speaking to David, like he said, like Adam turns on the TV, he doesn't see somebody like himself.
Yeah.
So that's the key bit. So whoever comes to us and says, this means something to us as well, that's the partner that we'll opt with. So gotcha. We won't be going after, you know, kind of trying to push it too hard if there is resistance.
If there's resistance, yeah.
We know they all have this as a kind of an objective, but it's just a question of who will be the right partner for us. Yeah.
And Cartoon Forum, where you're pitching that, that's a different, that's almost like a TED Talk where you get a 30-minute opportunity to talk in detail about your project, and it's, you know, you get that space to present it. And I would guess that's more successful if you're doing that to 1,000 of the right people who are all listening to you at the same time.
Yeah, it's I often compare it to kind of Eurovision for cartoons. You know, you've got all the member states there, and they're all putting on a dog and pony show. But except that Ireland has 8 entries, you know, instead of 1. So and we're all trying to outdo each other in terms of
It's a bit of healthy rivalry, you know, there, is there?
Yeah, and there is, of course. You know, we're all going after the same buyers, but like you know, it because we're, you know, the Irish are particularly good at it. In terms of, you know, just it's a lot more casual, you know, the way we present, and there is a kind of, there's an element of us all trying to up our game every single year.
And in fairness to Ireland, we have, again, like maybe in the world of rugby and golf, we kind of, you know, we outdo ourselves in terms of a nation in terms of animation. Like, we've often speak to the guys from Cartoon Saloon or Brown Bag or whatever, and like, you know, yourselves and Cavalier are the same. Like, we do world-class stuff here that isn't being produced in the same way in other, inverted commas, bigger places. You know, absolutely, Ireland is amazing at it.
Yeah, now Ireland is like the second most represented after France, which is the kind of host nation that's Toulouse, you know, Cartoon Forum. So, you know, because of Brexit now, we've suddenly gone up the rankings, you
of course,
know, so our British colleagues aren't presenting this year. So so that's been great. We're the biggest kind of Anglophone producer in Europe. As you mentioned, Brown Bag, the biggest studio in Europe. Cartoon Saloon, you know, four or five Oscar nominations. Yeah. Paul and Tom will forgive me if I got the number wrong. But yeah, no, we're absolutely, I think within the animation community, they know, you know, there's definitely a perception. Ireland is one to watch, and, you know, it all goes back to Michael D and his Section 481, you know, so he's our icon. Yeah.
Back to Alva's World for a second. You are the voice of the dad in Alva's World, is that right?
I tend to get typecast as the dad quite a lot.
So how's your Finnish then when it goes to Finland? They're going to get someone else.
I won't be the Finnish dad. No. Oddly enough, Cavalier means untrustworthy in Finnish. So
does it, right? Does it? Yeah, don't do that. Yeah,
so it's a miracle we got the sale.
It is. Well, Andrew Cavalier Productions.
From Cavalier Production Company. So is it on RTE? It launched on Monday, wasn't it? On the RTE Player and RTE Junior.
Yeah, launched last Monday.
Last Monday.
On the RTE Junior. You can watch it at 8:30, 2 p.m. or 16:25 or 18:25, I should say, and weekend double bills at 8 a.m, 11:45 and 18:40.
And it's 26 episodes online now as well.
The first 26 episodes are online. Next spring we deliver another 26, and then we're hoping to go to season 2 next year.
Amazing.
Wow. Great. Brilliant.
Andrew Kavanagh from production company Cavalier in English, creator of Alva's World, and of course Adam's Adventure as well, which is going to be seen around the world, I'm sure. Good luck on the conferences. Thanks for jumping into us today.
Thank you, guys.
Dermot and Dave, weekdays from 9 a.m. today.